This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Each autumn, New Hampshire birders are treated to abundant flocks of broad-winged hawks beginning to migrate south. This September, Word of Mouth's favorite bird dude, Eric Masterson, will be biking across 5 time zones, 40 degrees of latitude, and 5,000 miles tracking the migration of the raptors. Why? Well, despite the hawks' impressive numbers, little is known about their migration. Eric is taking a sabbatical as land protection specialist with the Harris Center for Conservation Education. He is author of Birdwatching in New Hampshire and is here to talk about his upcoming journey. We're taping this beforehand, but he'll be actually leaving today to follow the broad-winged hawk. Eric, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So bird dude okay or bird lad better? I don't know.
Bird dude sounds better. It flows better.
It's better for a long trip. It sounds tougher.
Right. I'll get the Spanish translation for Mexico.
Well, so the birds are going to be flying. No obvious wings. You're going to be on a bicycle. So how are you going to follow them?
So I wish I had wings, and this is the best I can do. So I'm working with Hawk Mountain, which is a hawk research organization in Pennsylvania, on the Kittatinny Ridge in Pennsylvania, one of the oldest hawk research outfits in the world. And they have fitted several broad-winged hawks with GPS transmitters so that they are getting a daily download as to the hawks' whereabouts. So they're going to provide me with downloads as to where the hawks are, and I'll follow after them. I have a pretty good idea where these birds go because they follow. I picked hawks because this is really about migration, but I picked broad-winged hawks because they follow a really pencil-thin route down the Appalachians, and they don't cross water, so they follow the Gulf Coast. And I will get daily downloads of the hawks' whereabouts. So I'm following along behind them, visiting hawk watch sites, interviewing hawk aficionados on the way south. So that's how I'm doing it.
Well, they travel in flocks. You're going to be by yourself.
Yes.
What are the challenges for you?
Obviously the physical, because it's 5,000 miles and it's a lot of hills. Hawks follow ridge lines, and I'm going to have to debate how accurately I want to hew to that line. So there's the physical challenge. I think the mental challenge is greater. I've talked to a lot of people who've undertaken long trips like this. And, you know, I'll expect 6 months is a long time to be doing this. You know, I have people going with me for legs of the trip, but the whole thing is me. And so there'll be periods where I'm on my own. And so I'll have a lot of hills to overcome, mental blocks to overcome. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to do here is tell a narrative travelogue of what is an incredible. I think bird migration is one of the great natural wonders of the world. I really, truly believe that. We're fortunate to have these creatures in our lives. And so this is an attempt to live that insofar as I can, and hopefully it will. The journey will make me a better ambassador, possibly through a book. I don't know what's going to come out of this, but I feel really, really committed to it.
Well, we're all jealous of this. I mean, it sounds fantastic, and we're going to be tracking along with you. Please let us know how we can do that. But you're going to be, you know, it's a lot of stress, weather, you know, food, shelter, all those things, kind of like the birds.
Yeah, and that's one of the, you know, so when I talk about the mental and the physical challenges. You know, I've told my wife that my chances of making it back are 100%. Birds, not so much. You know, there are songbirds, 100 songbirds go south in the fall, and maybe 50 or 60 of them make it back in the spring. They face huge challenges. And so if I'm going to complain about, you know, the next hill or the difficulty of finding a place to camp for the night, it helps me, all that more helps me to identify with these creatures who don't have the luxuries that we have.
Well, you mentioned that it's about migration. Now, flocks of broad-winged hawks, beautiful, you know, striking to see during migration season. Thousands sometimes gathering during migration. So why is so little known about their migration?
Well, I think a lot is known, to be honest. I don't have any expectation that I'm going to shed new light on the phenomenon of hawk migration, at least from a scientific perspective. But what I do hope to do is shed some wonder on it. And so just to give you an example, I liken broad-winged hawk migration to a snowball that you roll down a hill. And they breed across the eastern U.S., essentially from the Mississippi River Valley east. And so you have this entire population, half of the continent, which is their breeding range. They follow an interstate south, and that interstate is called the Appalachian Mountain Chain. And so that's like an interstate. They're all piling onto it from feeder roads. And so a flock that you might get, a kettle, they're called kettles. Flocks of hawks are called kettles. And a day, a day's tally of 1,000 birds, 2,000 birds from, for instance, Pac Monadnock is remarkable in New Hampshire. When that snowball reaches Texas, it could be 100,000. When that snowball reaches Central America, Costa Rica, it could be 600,000. The single day count, and there are other species mixed in when it gets that far down, birds from the Western U.S., but the single day count from one of the top sites in the world, Kekaldi in Costa Rica, is in excess of 600,000 hawks. Wow. In a single day. It's really remarkable. I can't stress it enough.
Where do you think you're going to end up?
I would like to get to, I can follow the birds insofar as road infrastructure allows me to do so. And I can get as far as the road will allow me, which is the far side of the Andes, south of Bogota, and essentially the road runs out. And I don't know, maybe it's the Irish poet in me, but I think there's something wonderful about leaving my front door and traveling to the end of the road. And there is literally an end of the road. Fortunately, there's no road crossing the Amazon from that point yet.
So what are you packing? That's a lot of miles.
Yeah, so I've done some cycle touring before. I've done some extensive cycle touring in Europe. I've got a good touring bike. I was advised by various well-wishers to get an electric bike or a carbon fiber bike, but I need something that can be welded if it breaks in some hill village in Mexico or Nicaragua, something that's sturdy but fixable. And four panniers, two front and two back, and a handlebar back. Weight is paramount, so I've got a pair right down. So while you go home tonight and you cook on your wonderful gas stove, I will have a tiny little stove that's about as big as a cup, and I will actually have a cup to cook in. So
I'm actually packing for Yellowstone, so okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. I have a tiny little stove.
Okay.
Are we going to be able to track your journey?
Yeah, so I have a website, ericmasterson.com. I'll be updating that hopefully daily or as bandwidth allows.
Eric Masterson, he's taking a sabbatical from his job as land protection specialist with the Harris Center for Conservative Education for his project Kettle of One, a trip tracking the migration of broad-winged hawks all the way down to South America. He's also author of Bird Watching in New Hampshire. And you can track and follow along his migration south and even join it if you'd like to. The links are at wordofmouthradio.org. Okay, Eric, on your bike.
Thank you so much.